via medium wave, short wave, and satellite. This is the Dutch International Service.
He's a cool guy working at a cool job. He puts on his cool wooden shoes and drives through the tulips to the cool International Wireless Station, where he gets to hang out with his cool friends, Pete Myers, Mike Bird, Victor Gunatelica. Well, Pete Myers and Mike Bird, anyway. He gets to do his cool media network show so that we can hear it on Thursdays. Now, here he is, Agent RN, Johnny Marks.
Don't worry, this jingle is going straight in the dustbin after this week's program, but it's vaguely relevant to the next 30 minutes. It's also cold outside in this northern hemisphere. Hello, welcome to an update show. Lots of news and mysteries solved. Last week, we mentioned that we added an extra frequency at 11:30 UTC for our Radio Netherlands English transmission to Europe. But when we asked Jan Willem Drekshager, head of our distribution and frequency planning department, where that new frequency was coming from, he wouldn't say, for fear of spoiling a New Year quiz running on BRTN Teletext. Well, the quiz is closed, so Jan Willem's back in the studio to reveal all, at least frequency-wise. What's going on?
Well, it's actually a swap with Deutsche Welle. The transmission is originating from Nauen, a transmitting station close to Berlin. We use that station because it's a bit farther away from the UK. Actually, our transmission via Flevo on 6045 is on some days skipping a bit over the eastern part of England. For instance, in London, sometimes the reception is not so good. So that's why we use now a location a bit further away from the UK on that frequency 7130 kHz.
And how does the modulation get from Hilversum to Berlin?
Well, we are using actually our Eutelsat satellite link, which is mostly used for our link to Moscow. And this is received in Cologne, and from there on it goes to the Deutsche Welle transmitting station.
So Radio Netherlands gets 2 hours of transmission time on a Deutsche Welle site. Is there something other way around?
Yes, from our Madagascar relay station, we do a transmission for Deutsche Welle towards Central Africa in the morning from 500 to 0550 UTC. We have a transmission on 11765 kHz for Deutsche Welle in Portuguese and French.
Back to Radio Netherlands, if you listen at 11:30 UTC to that lunchtime broadcast in English at the moment, you may have heard an announcement going out to the fact that we're evaluating whether we need to broadcast it anymore. Bearing in mind the success of the medium wave broadcast in the evening via Kaliningrad on 1386 kHz. Now, the announcement's only been running for a few days, but already faxes and phone calls have been coming in.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Uwe Breutigam from Düsseldorf in Germany speaking. That is a very, very important thing on medium wave, 1386. Please stay on this frequency.
Kevin Hutchins, Stonehaven, Scotland. I consider that you should continue the lunchtime broadcast as well as the evening broadcast.
My name is John Georgeson. I live in northern England.
Well, I could play several dozen other calls, pro and con. Like I said, we're only toying with the idea. Another option would be to relaunch a European English transmission at 1530 UTC, like we had last summer, something that was helpful for people just coming home from work. Now's the time to react. In the meantime, Jan Willem, I guess we're pretty pleased with 1386 kilohertz.
Yes, we get excellent reception reports over a big part of Europe. And we hope that it's getting more known by our listeners.
Indeed, it's amazing to see who's listening and who tapes this little wireless program for later playback in the car. Now, to an update on the answer line, Andreas Herb in Landsberg in Germany.
Actually, it's not correct that Deutschlandradio Berlin closed its shortwave facility on 6005 kilohertz. They had plans to do so, but they changed their mind in December.
Thanks to Andreas and about 20 other contributors for getting that straight. Of course, I checked at a time when there was either no propagation or the transmitter was off the air. Never mind. Chris Greenway at BBC Monitoring in the UK notes that another station, this time on medium wave, did pull the plug.
That's right. The sister station of Deutschlandradio, Deutschlandfunk in Cologne, is no longer broadcasting on one of its major medium wave frequencies, 1539. That closed down at the end of the year. We've confirmed that by our own observations here and also by reference to Deutschlandfunk's program journal, which listed it right up until the last week of 1994, but no longer shows it as being one of the medium wave transmitters that they're using.
And Norway did say goodbye to long wave after all, didn't it?
That's right, it did. We recorded our interview last week on the Wednesday, and they were still on the air at that time, but by the following day they'd gone off the air, and so it looks like they were just keeping the transmitter running for the first 4 days of 1995 and then decided to switch it off.
So no more 216 kilohertz.
That's right.
Another channel to watch in Europe in the cold, dark nights is 1476 kilohertz. Another regular listener here in the Netherlands has been listening to it.
Hello, Jonathan. Here's Julius Hermans calling from Bredenbroek in the east of the Netherlands. Also, you reported that Austrian Radio signed off on medium wave 1476, and that gives some good DX opportunities on that frequency. For instance, at night you can hear United Arab Emirates Radio from Dubai on that frequency, and of course the English station County Sound from Guildford.
And he said it noted Mercury Extra AM from Guildford at 2230 UTC on Tuesday evening on 1476. Around the same time, Mark Fissers in Belgium noted ORT in Benin on 1475.1 kHz to be precise. What else?
The next item is more a question. I noticed that Vatican Radio on medium wave 1530 is jammed, and that is at about 18 hours UTC, when according to schedule they have a broadcast in Serbian. So I wonder whether you know more about that. The parallel frequencies of 1611 and shortwave 6245 are not jammed, but on medium wave 1530, I heard a sort of tone jamming.
Well, more research is needed there. We couldn't reach the frequency division of Vatican Radio for comment yesterday, so you have to be careful about drawing conclusions about deliberate interference. But we'll keep you posted. Thanks for the call. Now to Diana Janssen with news from another part of the world, also with a connection to jamming, I believe.
The People's Republic of China is one of the few countries in the world that actively jams foreign broadcasts. Transmissions in Mandarin from Western broadcasters like VOA and BBC are often blocked by the authorities in Beijing. So it's rather curious that the US transmitter manufacturer of Continental Electronics in Dallas has just started working on an $11 million contract to supply equipment to China. The Chinese government estimates that over the next 10 years, they will need 50,000 FM transmitters, most of them under 1 kilowatt. Factories are being set up with US assistance to make up to 400 units in the next year. So Continental expects this initial deal will lead to more contracts. In addition, powerful 500-kilowatt shortwave transmitters will be shipped to Beijing, although it's not clear whether these are to be used for strengthening Radio Beijing, intensifying the jamming of foreign broadcasts, or maybe both.
And we switch now from broadcasting to utility listening of sorts. Here's a countdown.
15. 14. 13. 12. 11. 10.
Turn it up! Turn it out! A little bit higher! Radio!
It's like your favorite station! Playing your favorite song!
Indeed, while you're listening to this, someone somewhere else is sitting in front of the radio, pen poised, ready to take dictation.
Victor, Lima, Bravo, Two, Victor, Lima.
And yet someone else is sitting in front of the dial looking for numbers. What an interesting evening. Maybe today is the day for your Spanish group.
Grupo 170. Grupo 170.
Or maybe you're straining in front of the wireless trying to hear some numbers read by a woman accompanied by a vacuum cleaner. Yes, if you tune between the shortwave broadcast bands using an ordinary wireless, it won't take you long to bump into strange stations sending groups of numbers or letters in Spanish, English, Russian, even German. Over the decades, various theories have been put forward as to their purpose, including weather forecasts, shipping information, industrial data, even secret projects communicating with UFOs. More recently, it's become clear what the transmissions are really for. They're messages from intelligence organizations throughout the world to their agents in the field. This has been confirmed by dedicated monitors who've tracked down the transmission sites, and also by former agents who've described how their masters communicated orders to them. Simon Mason is a listener in the north of Britain, and while some people listen to news and information from abroad, Simon listens to numbers. We last spoke to him on the programme 2 years ago, when we assumed that with the reduction in east-west tension and more peaceful signs in the Middle East, the intelligence communities would no longer need so many of these stations. But Simon says a surprising number is still around.
Yes, there's still many stations around. Some have scaled down their operation and some have appeared from nowhere and some have adjusted to different circumstances. For instance, the Czech station OLX, before the Czech and the Slovak Republic split up, it was not using a call sign. Now it uses an old Czech press agency call sign of OLX, and it's on 24 hours a day now. Apart from 23 hours for some reason, it's not on at 23 hours.
That station is very unusual.
The most surprising thing is it actually QSLs. Sends the QSL folder out with a nice little picture of Prague on the front cover with even all the frequencies that are in use on the inside.
Some of them being, what, 3280, I notice?
That's
4601?
Yeah. There are five in use during the 24 hours a day. It's, like you said, 3280, 5301, 6758, 8142, and 11002. Those are the main ones.
And the address to get a confirmation turns out to be this one, the Minister of the Interior, P.O. Box 21/SK, postal code 17034, Prague 7 in the Czech Republic. They're obviously so confident of the security of the one-time pad system they're using that they're willing to confirm listener reception reports, but that is the exception rather than the rule. It's also easy to jump to conclusions in this business. Just because you hear someone shouting numbers in the English language doesn't mean to say that the transmitter is in the UK. However, one of the British stations has such an English accent that other countries would have a hard time trying to imitate it. The station is one of those most active and well-known in spy number listening circles.
The most common English ones on the air, the Lincoln Supporter Station and the CIA counting stations, supposed CIA counting stations, and there's a Russian man that uses English as well. So those are the three main English ones, apart from the phonetic alphabet stations, which it's not easy to determine which language they're using since the phonetic alphabet's used by everybody, which they're supposedly Mossad stations. Stations like Uniform, Lima, X-ray, and stations like that.
As far as the Lincolnshire Poacher is concerned, that gets its name because of the identification tune it plays.
That's right. It plays a Lincolnshire Poacher tune for 10 minutes preceding the broadcast.
The Lincolnshire Poacher is active daily between 10 and 22 hours UTC. From 10 to 14 hours, look for her on 14487 or 15682 kilohertz, and from 15 to 17 hours UTC on 11545 or 13375 kilohertz. And in the evening here in Europe, from 18 to 22 hours, she's usually around on 9251 or 6959 kilohertz. All frequencies are heavily jammed. Rough direction finding indicates this station originates from a British base in Cyprus, and the jamming is similar to that used by Iran and Iraq to jam unwanted Western broadcasts. Is the Lincolnshire Poacher then designed to serve British agents in the Middle East?
That's still the theory, yes. I've tried to QSL the supposed base at Cyprus, but obviously I didn't get any joy there, unlike the Czech station. but that is 99% certain. An interesting variation is that a second linkage approaches station started up last spring of 94. It ended around May 94, and that was audible between 10 and 12 hours UTC on 18, 19 and 20 megahertz frequencies, and between 19 and 21 hours on 7, 8 and 9 megahertz frequencies. Obviously, there's no point in giving those frequencies out now because they're not active anymore.
No one's sure exactly what that tune really is. It could be Cherry Ripe, a traditional English song from 1916, composed by Sir John Frederick Bridge. The title would fit the type of work involved too, but again, it's purely romantic speculation. That station was traced to somewhere in Asia. But what about the CIA?
Well, quite a common station on the air is a station that counts from 1 to 0 with a three-figure number for 10 minutes. Then it sends out 10 long dashes and says count 225, count 225, then sends out five-figure groups. Those are widely heard, have been heard for many, many years. There's also a German equivalent of that as well. That woman has a distinct American accent.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0, 3, 8, 6. You can hear those stations counting away during the day, let's say between 14 and 16 hours, on channels around 12 and 16 megahertz. But what about other languages, like German? You won't hear her anymore. That was a number station historical clip. Not long after the Berlin Wall came down, that woman and her gong disappeared, at last, from the airwaves. It was a Stasi transmitter, run by East German intelligence, from a centre not far outside Berlin. I've heard a similar gong used in a German supermarket recently, but we digress. There are still German numbers being used on the wireless to this day.
X-ray Lima.
Mind you, some of the stations have such distorted modulation it's sometimes difficult to understand the numbers. You can imagine Agent Schmidt wondering whether he has to blow up the bridge or go to the dinner party. Depends on that number that he didn't hear. Monitoring shows that many of the number sequences are repeated, though, at other times during the same day. If you think that part of the deal involves listening to sexy voices encouraging you to fight for your country, then you'll be sorely disappointed. Would you really like to meet this lady? I'm sure she was the Iron Lady from the KGB in that film From Russia with Love.
No, obviously the old East German stations have disappeared, but stations like Papa November, DFC 37, DFD 21, they've gone as well, but the other two-letter stations are active. The two-letter stations, for example, are stations like Whiskey Lima and Juliet Whiskey and Kilo Whiskey. They still broadcast every day. They're still part of the same outfit that used Papa November and the other two. The surprising thing is that three English versions of these have turned up in the past few weeks. For instance, there's a station signing on as Bravo November in English, and that's on every Sunday at 0530 on 11617. Also, the Delta Alpha turned up on Tuesdays at 0930 on 11545. And a Victor India has been spotted on Mondays at 1300 on 16220, and that repeats on Tuesday on 15610 at 1330. So it's an unprecedented number of English stations from this outfit. But perhaps the easiest one of the German ones to hear is Kilo Whiskey, which is on every day at 0530, 0930, and 1430. And for example, the 1430 broadcast is always on 16414, and the 0531 has been spotted on 12314. So that's perhaps the easiest one to hear of those.
And the announcers all sound very excited about their work. That's presumed to be part of the German BND intelligence organisation. But how does Simon find all these spy number schedules? Unlike broadcast stations, these stations don't want listeners, except, of course, the specific ones they're aiming at.
The German stations that I've just mentioned, the two-letter stations, they use a fixed number of frequencies, the same frequencies all the time. For instance, they use perhaps about 40 or 50 different frequencies, I don't know exactly. So all you have to do is to put those 50 frequencies into a memory of a receiver, and they help you by signing on the hour or on the half hour, and just scan through all those 50 frequencies on the hour, and hear a station, and log it down on the day and the time it is. And that's quite an easy way to construct a schedule for these.
Some people are still sceptical about the number stations. If life and death really depends on what these stations are saying to agents in foreign countries, why is shortwave radio used to transmit these messages in today's high-tech world of satellites and digital communication? The answer is that the system is pretty simple. It's robust. Most of the coding systems used are impossible to break, and you can't track who's listening, unless they happen to be in the same room. Security services, mind you, have developed sophisticated methods to tap the contents of telephone calls and fax machines. But the radio system is ingeniously simple.
Number 1, 2, 3, 4.
Perhaps because of the slight unease as to the purpose of these stations, people have been reluctant to speak about them in the past. However, today there are books, some magazines, and even numbers monitoring groups, such as the British-based organisation called Enigma. The name Enigma has its origins in the cracking of the German military codes by the British during the Second World War. Now a group of listeners says it stands for European Numbers Information Gathering and Monitoring Association. Who's behind it?
Well, Enigma is the idea of a colleague of mine, Chris Midgley, and his idea was a good one, that numbers monitors working on their own can't possibly listen to every single frequency all the time, you know, 24 hours a day. So it was basically, it was an idea to pool everyone's resources and to publish the outcome and the schedules in a quarterly newsletter.
The Enigma newsletter is a non-profit venture, and the latest issue, number 7, is out this month. If you're interested, send return postage or 2 international reply coupons to this address: Enigma, Bradford Resource Centre, 31 Manor Row, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD1, 4PS, in the UK. That address again, Enigma, Bradford Resource Centre, 31 Manor Row, Bradford, West Yorkshire, BD1, 4PS, in the United Kingdom. Enigma is also active electronically these days. A chap called Mike Chase is open for correspondence on details of stations that you've heard. His electronic mail address is mikec@praxis.co.uk. There's also a worldwide web page on internet with details about number stations. You can reach it at this huge URL address, http://itre.unce.cs.edu/radio/numbers.html. I can recommend that page as having some very useful background details for beginners in the number station business. Back to the bands. Does the group of around 150 enthusiasts do any direction finding?
There are some people who contribute to Enigma who have direction finding equipment, but obviously very crude authorities that use the effing on HF use very expensive equipment that we can't hope to have. But very rough fixes are possible, but I've constructed some myself, and they're very, very unreliable.
So are the members secret too? I mean, they keep themselves to themselves. It's not everybody that wants to listen to these stations, of course.
Well, quite a lot of them, the members are out in the open, as it were. Some of them prefer to remain anonymous, perhaps. They're working for government organisations and want to contribute as a hobby, but don't particularly want the employees to know that what they're doing.
But then the other aspect is that you may be able to identify them in terms of the ID signal they put out. In other words, Mary Susan Adam is another station that's on the air, but you can never decipher the actual code, can you?
No, that's not possible at all. If the current theory is that you're using a one-time pad method of encoding, which means that a random number is added to the message, and which is only used only once, and it's practically impossible for anyone without the one-time pad to be able to decipher any messages.
I guess that they are using a computer to generate the voice. There's nobody sitting there live reading these numbers.
Well, there's still one or two that are live, actually. Very, very few. A lot of them, for instance, the German Papa November station did used to have about four or five different females reading out the messages live into a tape, but they were replaced by the computer voice around 1989. That they were one of the last ones to go over to the computer voice system.
And of the stations on the air, which do you think is the most interesting?
You mentioned before Mary Susan Adam. That's just started up in the last year.
But it is peculiar. Back in 1948, the American Radio Relay League, looking after the interests of US radio amateurs, published its standard phonetic alphabet. If you were spelling a word on the air, radio amateurs were encouraged to say A for Adam, B for Baker, C for Charlie, and so on. Later this was changed to the more international and familiar Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, Delta phonetic alphabet, which many operators still use today. Simon says the Nancy, Adam, Susan group of stations still uses the old 1948 alphabet.
You can hear one every day at 20 hours UTC on 5530. That signs on with Nancy, Adam, Susan, which is the call sign of the station. And there's also another one at 2100 on 4130 called Mary, Susan, Adam. And there's a third one at 14 hours UTC, which is on 14 megahertz, 14,000 kilohertz. Just on the edge of the 20-metre amateur band. That's called Frank Young Peter.
The call sign's repeated for 2 minutes. If a message is to follow, the woman says, Queen Promise Charlie, followed by a phonetic coded message. If there are no messages that day, she says, Queen Robert Union. Now, 15 years ago, a lot of these stations signed on with musical melodies. An old favourite that's still around, Jest, plays the Swedish Rhapsody.
Right, the Swedish Rhapsody has scaled down its activity somewhat since 3 or 4 years ago, but it's still active. For example, the second Saturday of the month at 21 hours UTC, you can hear that on 4779. Previously, it used to be on three different frequencies, now it's just on that single one. That message is repeated an hour later at 22 hours on 5340. There are other schedules, times and frequencies. It's quite a complex schedule now. It's sort of like every second Saturday of the month, every third Monday of the month, for example. It's quite complex now.
Any theories as to where that is then? Is it because it's the Swedish Rhapsody? Is it coming from Stockholm?
Very unlikely. We have heard from one of our contributors that it's coming from Poland.
Are there any on Morse code?
Yes, there are many, many stations on Morse code. In the last edition of Enigma, there was a Morse station supplement that featured about 20 different types of Morse stations. Many of them have a voice counterpart as well.
So what's the fascination of listening to messages you can't understand?
You're pitting your wits against the intelligence community and they're trying to find out the schedules of different types of stations, where they come from, what sort of languages they are. If they were all out in the open and everyone knew what they were and the call signs were in books and everyone knew the languages and the purpose, it wouldn't be interesting.
So Simon Mason. Now over to Jim for some five-figure groups.
Thank you, Jonathan. And now for our agents in the field, attention. 3-1-3-5-7-2-4-2-2-2. End.
And Mike Bird has some vital numbers for you now on the line from where are you?
I'm at a place called Blairgowrie, which is about 100 kilometres south of Melbourne on the Mornington Peninsula, enjoying my holiday.
Very nice. But you have a propagation report for us. First of all, looking back at the last 7 days.
The solar flux continued to decline and the geomagnetic field was disturbed on Wednesday the 4th and Thursday the 5th. Solar activity was low all week. The solar flux was 77 on Wednesday the 4th and by Tuesday the 10th it had dropped to 73. The average works out to 74.7, which equals an effective sunspot number of 12, and that is down on the previous week's figure of 16. The geomagnetic field disturbance indicator, the estimated planetary A index, range between 18 and 7, which represents active to quiet conditions. The magnetic field was generally active on Wednesday and Thursday, the 4th and 5th. For the remainder of the week, the magnetic field was generally unsettled.
And what about between now and next Thursday?
Jonathan, next week should be another mixed bag of propagation conditions. IPS Radio and Space Services expects solar activity will remain low. The geomagnetic field is expected to be active today due to a coronal hole. Hopefully from tomorrow through to Wednesday the 18th, the magnetic field will be generally unsettled. But on Thursday the 19th, we expect another coronal hole will start to disturb conditions again.
Thanks, Mike. Also to Diana Janser for additional production on this week's Wireless Show. We all wish you a pleasant weekend.
Media Network is a Radio Netherlands presentation. Copyright 1995.